Excited. I don't know about you, but I am so excited to be back in the house of the Lord as we are able to gather together again. So I know some of you are still apprehensive about wandering out yet, and that's okay. We are so glad. So for those of you who are joining us online, we are still honored and humbled that you would choose to worship with us. But no matter what, welcome home to Tree City Church. I got to tell you, I've been counting down these days like, I don't know, a little kid at Christmas or something. I was just like, I am so ready to get back in our building. I mean, it's been fun, a learning experience doing the online stuff. But at the end of the day, we were called to be in community. That's how we were created, was to be in relationship with one another and with the Lord. And there was just something missing from that. And so I am really, really excited. And the nice thing is that Chad and I, we don't have to meet during the week and record for hours and then do video editing and sound editing for hours. So I can't speak for Chad, but I'm not going to miss sitting down in front of the computer for 10 hours trying to get videos and sound edited together. So I'm really excited, if nothing else, for that. If you would, I'd appreciate it if you would just do me the honor, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in a building, if you would check in on Facebook at some point during the service, let people know that you're here and that we are ready to engage with them no matter what that might look like. We would certainly appreciate it if you would check in on Facebook. And I do want to just remind everyone that we still are encouraging social distancing. Yes, we are meeting together, but as you've already noticed, if you've walked in, all of our chairs are scattered out in little clusters that are all far apart from one another. And so we appreciate your help and your diligence in making sure we continue to maintain that 6-foot social distancing. We're hoping that soon things will get back to where we can have things as we were used to them in here. We can hand out worship guides as we used to, that we can do hugs and handshakes and all of that stuff. But for now, we are asking that you would help us to remain vigilant with practicing social distancing. And speaking of not having the worship guides that we are handing out, you do still have access to our digital bulletin. Just simply go to treecitychurchtn.com. And you'll be able to click on a link that says bulletins. Find the one with today's date. You're going to still see all of our slides, all of our scriptures and points and things like that. So definitely do check that out. That way you can follow along with us, whether you're watching now or whether you're joining us on a little bit later. For those of you who are watching us online, I want you to know we do still have prayer counselors online right there with you. They are ready to engage with you. So as we go throughout the sermon, make sure to engage with them. Let them know that you're watching. Let them know that they can be praying for you, because it is our honor to worship with you and to pray for you. We're about to go ahead and continue on with our worship, but first, let's just invite God into this place and then open our hearts and our lives to Him and just say, God, what we have, it's yours, including ourselves. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much that you have taken care of us through all of this, that you have been the anchor, you have been the great lighthouse whenever our storms are swirling around us. And we just pray, God, thanking you, celebrating your goodness. And we ask, God, that you would just fill this place, that you would just move mightily in our midst, that our hearts would be transformed, not just the words that we speak, but our very lives would be changed by the word that you have for us today. So as we continue on in song, let us not just be speaking words along to a melody. Father God, let this praise come from an overflow of the joy that you have placed within us. God, you are so good to us. You are so merciful to us. You are so gracious to us. You are so kind to us in ways that we cannot even fathom, ways that we do not understand, ways that we cannot imagine. So we ask, God, that you would just watch over us, that you would continue to comfort us. We look forward to what it is that you are doing. We pray, God, that you would just move mightily in this place and that you would change lives. God, we love you. We celebrate you. We ask all of this in that beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we continue to sing.
Perfect in all your ways. ways. You're perfect in all your ways. You're perfect in all your ways to us. Oh, so undeniable, I can hardly speak. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love your good, good Father. Yes, who you are. Yes, who you are. Yes, who you are. Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And all the earth will shout your bolts will say, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bolts will say, your breath in all us, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in all us, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in all us, so we pour. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness.
God, great are you, and we are so thankful that we get the honor and the opportunity to sing praise to the only one who is worthy of our praise. So we pray, Father God, that our hearts are prepared, that they are an open altar, that we are just already in a submission, a state of yes to whatever it is that you're calling us today. God, use our time together. Use it in a way that only you can. Give us peace, comfort, and guidance as only you can. God, we love you. We trust you. We say thank you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Hey, and I am just really, again, excited and honored and humbled that you chose to worship with us today. And so, again, if you are following along with us, whether you're in the house or whether you're joining us online, treecitychurchtn.com, you can click on bulletins. You can follow along with all of our scripture and everything. So I want you to know that if you did not bring your Bible today, there's still a way for you to be able to follow along with that. And so, with all that said, we are continuing on with our sermon series called For Pete's Sake. We're in our fifth week of it, and so we're just learning all sorts of things from the life of Peter. Specifically, we are learning from the life of Peter right around the time of the resurrection, because, I mean, Peter made a heap of mistakes. But, I mean, if we think about his mistakes and what his big one was, we're thinking about his three-time denial, right? I mean, if anybody could mess up big time like Peter could, it was in that little moment that we remember him for. And that's principally what we are learning from, the areas that we are learning from. But you ever notice that sometimes it's so important that we kind of backtrack? You ever, like, lost your keys or your wallet? And so you start kind of, like, backtracing your steps, trying to figure out, like, where in the world did things go wrong? I gotta figure out where my keys are, so I need to figure out where I've been. And then lo and behold, we'll typically find whatever it is that we're looking for, right? Anybody else ever had to backtrack to find whatever it was that was missing in their life? The same applies to our spiritual life. Sometimes it's really important for us to really understand the glory of redemption, that we remember where it is that he has brought us from. And sometimes that means we need to backtrack our steps. And so that's kind of where we're going to start with today. You know, we've come a long way since we met Peter, right? You know, he was one of the earliest followers of Jesus. And so that's where I kind of want us to start with today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Luke chapter 5. We're just going to be reading verses 3 through 11, but it's Luke chapter 5, and it says, stepping into one of the boats. So this is very early in the ministry of Jesus, okay? He says, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. Now, what we are knowing as Peter, at this point, still goes by the name of Simon. A little bit later on, Jesus will say, okay, Simon, I am changing your name to Peter because I am going to build the church upon you. But at this point, we still know Simon as Peter. So whenever we read the name Simon here, we need to just understand that we're talking about the same guy that we have been talking about, that we come to know as the Apostle Peter. So he asks Simon, says, push out into the water. And so he does this. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now, go out to where it is deeper. So he's finished his preaching, and now he's speaking directly to Peter again. He says, go out into the deep waters and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Peter replied, we worked hard all night, and we didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought all of the other fisher partners into the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the very verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I am a sinful man. For he was awestruck with the number of fish that they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Peter, saying, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Now, as soon as they landed, this is the important bit. This is, if we're going to think about retracing these keys, this is the important bit. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. See, this is important because this is the reminder. This is where it all started for Peter. Now, at this point, Peter has witnessed two miracles. Well, you could debate on the first one, okay? Basically the day prior, Peter's mother-in-law had a righteous fever and probably was on the verge of death, and Jesus healed her. Now, some of you are married, and we'll leave it up to debate whether or not that was a blessing or a curse. But, you know, basically, back to back, Peter has witnessed these miracles, but he becomes awestruck. He becomes overtaken, and he abandons everything. So as they pulled up on the shore, they left everything to follow Jesus. And my question, my wonder today is there somebody here who needs to remember the moment that they abandoned everything to follow Jesus? Is there a moment in your life where you can say, I remember whenever I discovered what redemption looked like, But you know what? Life has gotten busy, and have you heard there's this virus that's floating around that's got everybody in a panic, and people at Burger King wearing their masks down here like that's doing any good. I digress. It's just, you know, Michelle needed me to speak on that, okay? It's driving her insane every time we go to Burger King. It's like, that's not covering your mouth. And your nose, yes. We're very excitable about that, okay, as you've noticed. But maybe life has just been so hectic for you, so chaotic for you. There's been storms in your life. And you have forgotten that point of redemption where you say, you know what, Kevin, that's me today. And I want you to know Jesus still has a plan for you. He still has a purpose for you, and he's not angry at you, as we're going to discover. But it's important that we backtrace and then we remember what we do when we find ourselves in need of remembering our redemption. So with that in mind, we're thinking about where it all started for Peter, right? That's where we were picking up, and now we're thinking about, again, we're learning from the mistakes around the time of the resurrection. So we're talking about 3.5 years later at this point. These disciples, they have followed Jesus through thick and thin. They have followed him when everyone else has abandoned him. Read John chapter 6. You'll discover all about that. It's insane. The amount of falling away that Jesus experienced in terms of losing disciples. But here are these core 12 that have been following him from the very end, or to the very end, for the last 3.5 years. Remember, they have abandoned everything to follow him. And now we're thinking about the life of Peter. He's been following Jesus for a little over 3 years, and now he's thinking about, he's dwelling on these last few hours, these last couple of days, this moment where he looks at what's going on in his life, and he says, all I can think about is I denied Jesus 3 times. I denied him 3 times, exactly as Jesus said I would, and then a crow or a rooster crowed to signify that, hey, I fell 3 times in a matter of hours, just as Jesus said it. Well, Jesus predicted this. The very big grand gesture that I swore would not happen, happened. And this is all, I'm sure, that Peter has been dwelling on. Because don't we all do that? We think of our mistakes, we think of our failings, and we just sit there and stew in it, right? I mean, I do that. I don't know if that's you. Maybe you're a little more righteous than I am. But whenever I screw up big time, that's all I can think about. There will be times where I don't even know what I've done wrong with Miss Michelle, but I can sense that I said something wrong or I did something wrong or I forgot to do something, and it bothers me. And it doesn't just bother me because it's like, if I just knew, I wouldn't do it again, but it bothers me to my core because I love my bride. I adore my bride. And so to know that I disappointed my bride, that bothers me. And I will sit there and stew on that and dwell on that, and it bothers me to no end. Does anybody else experience that? The thing about, man, these are the moments in which I failed Jesus. These are the moments when I dropped the ball and I did something that I did not want to do. I did something that I told Jesus I would not do, and yet I did it. And that just consumes our lives. So we no longer walk in the goodness of his mercy and of his grace and of his forgiveness, but instead we think about our failure and we walk in that. And that's the very thing that Jesus did not want us to do. See, today is Sunday, but Peter is still dwelling on Friday. And Jesus has been setting this up all along. Remember, he said, listen, this temple will be destroyed, and I will rebuild it in 3 days, right? He's already told Peter and the rest of the gang, this is what's going to happen, so stop dwelling on Friday. And so that's where we kind of pick up with this next passage. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they've come to anoint Jesus. So Jesus, they think, is still in the tomb, right? And so they've come to anoint him with spices in order to prepare the body in this sort of Jewish ceremonial way for burial. And so we pick up with Mark chapter 16, verses 4 through 7. Mark 16, it says, when they entered the tomb, so these women go into the tomb expecting to see Jesus, and instead to see a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And so already they're freaking out, so they're alarmed, and he says, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they put him? But go, tell his disciples, get this, and Peter, tell his disciples and Peter. Now, wasn't Peter one of the disciples? So why are we singling Peter out? We're going to look at that in just a second. But it says, go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there just as he told you. So why is he singling out Peter? Because we need to understand, friends, and this is what Mark is writing to. He's saying we need to single out Peter because sometimes we ourselves need to single ourselves out. And we need to remember that redemption is on an individual basis. He doesn't just redeem the church. He does. He doesn't just redeem the church. He doesn't just rescue the church. He rescues Kevin. He redeems Kevin. So whenever I read this, I need to understand that just as sometimes Peter needed to be singled out and told, listen, Peter, buddy, just screwed up, but God's grace is sufficient for even you. Sometimes Kevin needs to remember, hey, Kevin, remember you screwed up, but God's grace is sufficient for even you. Chad, sometimes you screwed up, but guess what? God's grace is sufficient for even you. Every one of us need to just fill in the blank there and say, I need to be reminded that God's grace is sufficient for even me. Because why single out Peter? Because he's been doing the exact same thing that you and I do, dwelling on it, stewing on it, thinking, man, these are the ways that I screwed up. And this is the very thing that Jesus has come to redeem us and to rescue us from, is the guilt and the condemnation that comes with knowing that we've made a mistake. He is the bread of life. God sent the bread of life from heaven, and he says that no one comes to the Father except through him. So we know that the redeeming work of our salvation, of our redemption, is done through Jesus Christ. Guys, I am ready to preach. Are y'all ready to hear it? Jesus Christ has set us free from guilt. He has set us free from condemnation. My question to you is, what are you carrying that Jesus Christ has long told you to set that crap down? Amen. I got to catch my breath. I'm pumped up. I'm excited to be here, y'all. What are you still carrying that Jesus has long ago said, set that mess down. I have freed you from it. We know what you're talking about. I don't know where it is. Maybe your place is being, I've been thinking about all the mistakes that I made when I was a teenager. And I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm very much not a teenager now. And I still think about that crap. I still think about the people that are hurt, the relationships that are broken, the friendships that have been ruined. I still think about those pills. I still think about that alcohol. I still think about that crap I found on the internet that I didn't need to be looking at. When Jesus is here to say, I have freed you from it, because you're not going to get free from it as long as you're still walking in it. Friends, he has come to redeem us and to rescue us, to set us free from that crap. So my question to you today is, how are you going to respond to that? Are you going to continue to dwell in it? Or are you going to respond like Peter? Are we going to respond like Peter? Because remember, the women have been to the tomb, and he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. So let's pick up with Luke chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. So these women, they've gone to the disciples, and they said, guys, you're not going to believe this. We went to anoint the body, but there was no body. Instead, there was this dude chilling, just kicking it. And he's like, hey, I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, right? He's not here. He's gone on to Galilee. He's going to meet you there. You guys, you had to be there. That was one of those you had to be there moments. Clearly it was, because these words, they seemed like nonsense to them. All the disciples are like, whatevs. And they did not believe the women. Peter, however, and this is our response. This is how we need to respond. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. He got up and ran to the tomb. Now, we need to understand that running in this time, it's a very undignified manner. That's what little kids do. We're adults. We don't run. Have you seen Kevin? Running is not in my forte. But Peter, he gets up and he runs to the tomb. So can you imagine, like, you've seen the paintings. Like, you imagine that gown flowing in the wind? running. I'm sure that I would have tripped anyways. I'm digressing. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. And so he went away. Guess what? He's amazed at what happened again. When we think back all the way to when Peter first met Jesus, then we read that he was amazed. And here he is, amazed again. Are you still amazed at what Jesus has done in your life? Are you still amazed by the ways that he has set you free? If you look back and you think about, this is the mess that my life was, now I have purpose. Now I have freedom. Now I have joy. How can we not be amazed? See, all the other disciples are like, oh, whatever. You ladies, hit that pipe again. But Peter, he jumps up and he runs. My friends, that needs to be us. If Peter can get up and run to Jesus, so can you. Because no one quite screwed up quite like Peter did in this moment, right? We're thinking about all the ways that Peter has screwed up, all the ways that he has failed, all the denials that he made. He has screwed up big time. And yet he got up and he ran to the tomb. Now let's put ourselves in Peter's shoes for just a second. You've been following this guy for 3.5 years. And you let him down in the most important point. And the very guy who said, I would redeem you and rescue you, is now alive. That tomb is empty. That means we have to make a decision right here, right now. We need to do something in the face of this knowledge. We need to know that we betrayed the guy who overcame death. What power must he have, right? What power? I mean, think of all the things that Peter has seen firsthand. We just read about it. Peter didn't have the Gospel of Luke. He lived through this stuff. He has seen power unprecedented, unseen, unheard of. And he has to make a decision in light of the power that overcomes death. We can run from it. Probably what we all would have been. I mean, if this dude can overcome death, I need to get away because I failed him. Or he knows Jesus so intimately, he knows the love of Jesus is so good that he runs to the tomb. This is the power that Peter made a decision to run to, and he was amazed. If Peter can get up, so can you. And so someone here today needs to hear, it is time to get up and run. It is time to get up and run. This was personal for Peter. It needs to be personal for you. Peter is going, could it possibly be true that this tomb is empty? And he found that it was true. My friends, you need to be asking yourself, could it possibly be true that that tomb was empty? And what does it mean for me? What does it mean for me? And I have to make a decision. Am I going to run to the empty tomb? Am I going to run through the redeeming love of Jesus Christ? Or am I going to run from the power of the resurrection? Is your response going to be to run to Jesus Christ? So we need to understand, friends, that faith is not stationary. The other disciples, they just chilled. And they didn't get to be amazed at an empty tomb. But Peter got to be amazed again. Why? Because he put his faith into motion. He put his faith into motion because faith is not stationary. Faith calls us to move towards Jesus. We can only be doing one of two things. We can be moving towards Jesus or further away from Jesus. Because guess what? God is on the move. I'm about ready to start singing some, Seventh Day Down or whatever? Anyways, I digress. Jesus doesn't just chill. God is on the move. And so that means we must be on the move towards him. We got to be on the walk with him. Faith is not stationary. Let's look at John chapter 21, verses 2 through 9. It says, after all of that. And remember he said, Jesus is going to come chill with y'all in Galilee, right? And that's where we're at. We're in Galilee. So Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. And Peter said, I'm going to go out and fish. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat. This sounds familiar. That night, they caught nothing. So early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Again, they've been fishing all night. It's now early morning. Fishing is third shift work. And he says, "Throw your net on the other side. You've been coming up empty-handed all night." Seems kind of familiar. Seems about 3.5 years ago, doesn't it? And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, so this is John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord," because they were refreshed. They were reminded, this happened 3.5 years ago. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. My friends, is it time for you to wrap up and throw yourselves into the water and just run for Jesus, just as Peter did? Again, Peter had to make a decision here. What was his decision? He knew the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, and he trusted in it so much so that in spite of his failures, he jumped out of the boat and swam towards Jesus. My friends, we need to understand today that Jesus does not remind, he doesn't focus on your failure. You're the one doing that. You're the one dwelling on that. You're the one stewing on that. Jesus isn't focusing on your failure. He's reminding you of your purpose. He has a purpose for each and every person. Ephesians says we are all poemas. We are poems. We are designed. We are written. We are created with a purpose in mind. We are created for purpose. Whether you got hair or not, you have a purpose. Amen. Praise God. You have a purpose, and Jesus is here to remind you that he has a purpose for your life. So he's saying, throw your net to the other side, Peter. And this reminds him. This reminds him. He thinks all the way back to 3.5 years ago when Jesus said, "Peter, from now on, you are going to be a fisher of men. And I'm just here to remind you that the way you're collecting these fish is the way you're going to collect men towards the kingdom. I'm not even mentioning the ways you messed up. What I am mentioning is the purpose behind your life." Amen. He doesn't remind him of his failure. He reminds him of his purpose. And so Peter found redemption by running to the Redeemer. That's the decision that we all have to make. And there's this beautiful verse in the Psalms, Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. Says, "Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of the days of my life. So my question to you is, who took you out of the game? Because it was not Jesus. Who took you out of that game? Maybe you've been sitting on the bench saying, "Put me in, coach, put me in, coach, put me in, coach." And he's sitting there going, "We've only got 4 guys on the court. I'm waiting on you to get up." Are you going to run to the Redeemer? Are you going to get back up? Are you going to get back in the game? That's a decision that each of us have to make. This verse says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just the good days when I don't screw up. Not just the great days when the air conditioning at the church is actually working because I'm burning up, y'all. All the days of our lives. Not just the perfect days when we don't get screwed up. All the days of your life, his goodness and his mercy will follow you. So get up, dust yourself off, let's get to work. Let's run to the Redeemer as we close. My question to you today is, has there been a point in your life where you can remember saying, "Yeah, there was a point at which I said yes to following Jesus. I can remember that moment where I said, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes since then. And maybe you've been okay. Maybe you've kind of tread that water. But there's still something nagging in the back of your mind about all the mistakes, all the person that you used to be. See, the beauty of it, as we looked at the earliest passage, Luke chapter 5 said that he was still being called Simon at that point. And then there comes a point in which Jesus says, no. New name for you. Now your name is Peter. See, this is what Jesus does. He doesn't clean up your name. He gives you a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away and the dead man is gone. We are new creations with a purpose, with a joy that we simply cannot make sense of. It's a word called shalom. It's a Hebrew word that means a peace that just simply cannot be described. We do not even have really an English translation from it because there is no word sweet enough to describe the experience of shalom. Yet this is what Jesus gives us because he gives us a new name. He gives us a new identity so we do not have to dwell on our failures. Instead, he reminds us of our purpose. So today, my question to you, as we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, there's somebody in this house who says, you know what? I have dwelt too long on who I used to be. Now I need to focus on who I am. A redeemed son and daughter of the Most High God. A co-heir with Christ. I am redeemed by his blood, by his broken body. And I am going today to make the decision to walk in that. I'm leaving here not as Simon. I'm leaving here as my own Peter. Is that you today? Would you say, Kevin, would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you're watching online. You say, you know what? Kevin, that's me. I am making that decision to walk in the goodness and in the purpose that he has for me. And Kevin, I need some direction. I need somebody to pray with me. Again, our prayer counselors are with you online. Just comment the word Peter. Comment the word Peter in that comment thread, and our prayer counselors would love to engage with you. Maybe you're not watching live. Maybe you're watching a replay. Say, hey, you know what? I'd still love to have somebody pray with me. I promise you, if you message us or you email us prayer@treecitychurchtn.com, somebody's going to respond to you. Maybe today you're thinking about all of the messes that you've made in your life and all of the disasters that your life has become and all the storms that you find yourself trapped in. And you think, there surely has to be something more than this broken mess that I find myself in right now. There has to be something more. And the reality is that we were all created with a perfect design to be in a harmonious relationship with God. And because of our own sin, because of our own rebellion, because of our own mistakes, we have walked away from the perfect design that he had created us for. We have walked away from that, and that has led us to a place where our life is broken, our life is a mess. And we just simply cannot fix it on our own. We've been trying and trying and trying and trying to fix our broken mess. But we try to fix it with broken things. And it just leads me more and more and more broken. And today, Kevin, I am sick of being broken. I am sick of trying to fix my brokenness with broken things. And I understand today that because of my sin, because of my rebellion, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for me so that I would be restored, that I would get a new name, that I would become a new creation, and that I would get to walk in the redeeming glory that is found in Jesus Christ. And we only need to do one thing. If that's you today, maybe say, you know what, Kevin, my life is a mess and I know I need to turn it around. There's only one thing left for you to do, and that is to simply believe and say in your life that Jesus is Lord. Is that you today? Are you making a decision today to follow Jesus and to say, Jesus is Lord of my life? Is that you today? Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else making that decision to say, Jesus, I'm giving everything over to you. When life looks great, you're going to be in charge. When life looks bad, you're going to be in charge. I am selling out and giving every single thing to you. Anyone else? Maybe today you're watching online, and maybe you're watching live with us right now online, and you're saying, I'm making that decision, Kevin, and I just don't know what to do now. Type the word surrender in that comment feed, and I promise you, our prayer counselors are right there with you, engaging with you, cheering for you. We're all cheering for you. We love you. But more importantly, God loves you. God, we love you because you loved us. And right now, there are people making decisions in this room. There are people making decisions online. There are people who will be making decisions a little bit later on during the replays. God, you know what is going on in each and every one of their hearts, each and every one of their lives. And we are trusting you with the outcome. We are celebrating with all the angels in heaven over the lives that are being transformed by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. God, we love you. We celebrate you. And we pray all of this in that redeeming name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, as we stand and as we sing, we're going to do something a little bit differently. Usually we open these altars to you. We are still practicing social distancing. Would you just make an altar right there where you sit or where you stand as we sing? Go ahead, Chad.
Redeemed.
that redeem.
Hey, you can be seated. We'll be dismissed in just a couple of minutes. I just have a couple of announcements. I want to run by you really quick. I do want to remind you that we do have our three ways to give. I got to tell you, I just got to testify, okay? It has been incredible for these last 2 months how Jesus has continued to provide for this church. Chad messaged me earlier in the week. He texted me and said, hey, have you seen the gas bill? Because I haven't, and it's due. No, I haven't seen it either, man. You get the mail. And so, long story short, he called them, said, hey, we didn't get the gas bill. What do we owe you? And they said, not a thing. Somebody's already paid it. We don't know who. We don't know anything like that. But somebody put it on the, yeah. I mean, it's worthy of praise because that's God providing. It's incredible. And so if maybe that was one of y'all, maybe you're watching online, I don't have a clue who it was, but I just want you to know we appreciate you being obedient to what God has called you to do when he placed that on your heart. And God continues to provide for us. I'm just in awe of how he is taking care of this church, and I'm excited. I take it as a sign of things to come. He is still with us, and I am just so pumped up, y'all. So we do have those three ways to give. We have an offering box back there at the back. We don't pass any kind of bags or anything anyways, but we're definitely not while we're trying to not have points of contact. So if you want to give your gift, you can give it back there at the offering box. I'd like to also encourage you to give online. You can go to treecitychurchtn.com or download the Tithely app, Tithely. Download that app. Search for Tree City Church. Yeah, so Miss Leanne has a story there. We've typically been the only church in McMinnville that was using Tithely. And apparently some other churches have joined during the quarantines and stuff because she was just going through the motions. She was like, I just gave to this other church. Listen, you tithe. Praise God. Thank you for your obedience to the kingdom. So anyways, you can give through Tithely. Just make sure you search for Tree City Church. Or you can give through treecitychurchtn.com. There's a button there to click where you can give now. But know that we appreciate your gifts, and know that we have been praying with you, for you, and we are excited. I appreciate so much when you message me and text me and call me and say, I got to tell you what God is doing in my life. And so I'm just really excited about that. Know that we are praying for you as we dismiss. Chad, you want to pray for us, brother?
Swap out mics. We don't even use the same mics.